I am ready as soon as Jordan lets us know he's got it going.
Okay.
You are live streaming.
Okay, I'd like to call this culture meeting, committee meeting to order. The day is July 27th, the year 2021. The time is 1:04 p.m. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Second Speaker Rivard.
Here.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Keene. Chairman Big Horse.
Present. We have a quorum. Congressman Maker, could you render us a prayer this afternoon, sir?
Yes, sir. In tasi wakante, tasi wakante zinke, hapa kaha, pia daha wanake talikombe, wajaji nika si dakede wala pikombe, kisto mai dakede wala pikombe, hu heka pi inche. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, and we want to ask you to be here with us today as we do the business for our people. Give us the guidance and knowledge and wisdom that we need to make the right decisions to carry our people into the future. So bless the elders, the children, those who are sick, having a hard time. Comfort those that need it, Heavenly Father. Keep the sickness away from our people. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Thank you, sir. Okay. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes. You have minutes in your packet from yesterday.
Chair Big Horse.
Yes, Congresswoman Shaw.
Under motion to approve for the minutes, it states that Congressman Keene made the motion, and I believe he was absent on this date.
I believe it was you, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Okay, did you get that, clerk?
Yes, I will correct that.
Chair would entertain a motion unless there's an objection.
Chair, I move to approve the minutes of July 26th as presented, or as amended, excuse me, as amended.
Okay, we have a motion as amended. We have a second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Now, we're still working off of yesterday's agenda. We didn't quite finish it up. We got further than I thought, though. We are on item number 8, which is ONCA 2164, an act to authorize and appropriate $3,102,500 to the Executive Branch of American Rescue Plan Act funds for the design, engineer, and construction of a new chapel in Hominy Indian Village and establish an alternate effective date. And Congresswoman Goodfox, if you're on, you are the sponsor and you have the floor, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Well, I don't really know that there's anything to discuss further. I think that we talked about it yesterday about the need for a little bit more space. The current chapel, for any of the members that have been there, is a little over 2,000 square feet. And it's just, at this point, it's structurally, it's fine, but we've outgrown it. And there's a similar bill for Gray Horse as well. I don't know what the square foot for theirs is, but like I said, ours is 2,400 square feet. And it was quite difficult during the last year to have services in that small of a building and also keep everyone safe. All of our chapels have served the communities very well, especially for those families that don't have big enough homes to bring their loved ones home when they've gone on. And I feel like this probably needs to either stay in committee until we talk as a Congress about what our priority list is in committee of a whole. I know we've discussed doing that. And so I would be a proponent of leaving it where it's at until we can establish more of a priority list. Because given what's come out, according to our budget analyst, we are already at, I think, $89 million out of the $108. So I'll just leave it at that. And if the committee has any other questions, I guess we can try to answer them. I don't know who's on the call from executive, but I guess I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Congresswoman. And yes, you're correct. All three, hopefully Pawhuska is going to make sure ours is large enough since we are in the construction process. But yes, they are overflowing, especially with our large families. A lot of times I see elders standing out in the cold. And I hear you, Congresswoman, and I appreciate your desire to leave it sitting right here until we do get a handle on the money and exactly where we're at. I think that is pretty much everyone's sentiment that I have spoke to, but it's up to the committee. I'm going to open the floor up to the committee if you have anything, any question or.
Chair, this is Rebard. I'm kind of, with everything that Congresswoman Goodfox has said, I definitely agree with. Right now, I have that's been sent out a committee. From the 108, 375, 828 million that we have, less all the committee spending, which totals 94 million 846 as of today. We're looking at having a balance right now of 13, 529, 828 if everything passes. I support the chapel because I'm one of them that I'm not an elder, but I have had to stand outside. And even when I showed up early, I just think that clearly Hominy and Gray Horse have outgrown their buildings. I did have a question for you, Congresswoman Goodfox. Is this with you guys keeping your chapel in the same location, or would it be that you guys would construct this closer to your community building, if you know?
Constructing it closer to, for Hominy, constructing it closer to the community building is, it's not an option. It can't be done because our square is, has the roundhouse, the community building, and the arbor. So, as you, and then the two camps for Gray Horse and Pawhuska, there's zero space left on our square as most of us know. And so they were going to look at adding on to our, it's my understanding that Hominy and Gray Horse's current chapels were built in a way that could be added on to. And that could be an option. Hominy's only problem area where they're not sure if it really could be added on and then have parking is that we have, for those of you that aren't familiar with where the Hominy Chapel is located, the cemetery is to the north, the Hunter House is to the east, there's a road to the west, and there's a house to the south, but I don't know how far back his lot goes. So it could be possible to add on, but we're just not certain yet. And if they couldn't add on to it, then the 5-man board has discussed placing it a little further out from where it's currently located.
Any other question?
Here, it's Rebar. Just a comment. I think I'll follow the lead of the sponsor, whatever it is that she wants to do with her bill. I understand her concern, and I appreciate that she's watching the money and as we spend it out of committee. I'm just concerned as to what do we do when we go to prioritize and we have bills left in committee. I don't understand how we're going to do that. So whatever you decide, sponsor, I'll follow. Thank you. Well,
I don't really have an answer to that either because we haven't discussed as a Congress what our priority list is. I suspect if I have to pick between, and this is just me as one Congress member, if I had to pick between, you know, PRT and Hominy having a bigger chapel, I'd pick PRT because Hominy has a chapel and so does Gray Horse. Granted, they're small. They're a little, like I said, a little over 2,000 square feet. But currently, our PRT, in my opinion, is more of a priority. And I also don't want for Hominy to move ahead of Gray Horses. So in my mind, as a member who I've gone to all three districts for services. If we pass one, we need to pass both. And I think that most Hominy people and Gray Horse people would tell you the same thing. You know, both of our communities know that we've outgrown our chapels. We appreciate them. We're glad we have some place to go, but I'm not willing to send mine out to the floor if Gray Horse isn't yet ready to go to the floor. So that's just, I don't know if Brandy is on here, she's, or Pam, I can't remember who's sponsoring the Gray Horse Chapel, but that's how I feel. If we don't have the money to do both of them, then we'll wait until we do have the money. And at some point, I think that the chapels for both Gray Horse and Hominy are going to have to be a priority. And maybe they're not the priority right this minute, but in the next coming years, like 2 years maybe, I hope that we will make them a priority. And if it's not with federal money, then tribal money.
Mr. Chair, this is Brandy.
Yes, Brandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, everyone. And I am on here. I have been listening to the dialogue, and I appreciate the dialogue. And I couldn't echo your sentiments any better, Congresswoman Goodfox. We're in the same boat in Gray Horse as far as size, and ultimately, that's just, I just want to speak up and say that I'm in 100% agreement that leaving, you know, some of these in committee until we work through some of the others that are already on the floor, meaning bills that, you know, that we could consider, come back and visit again. We have other options besides just the committee meeting. I mean, you know, there is another way to get things out of committee if it looks like there's not going to be a committee meeting. Not that I'm saying that that's what I would want to do, but we do have other options to move bills that are sitting in committee, which I know that you all know that. So anyways, I appreciate the time, and thank you, Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon.
Chair, this is Maker.
Yes, Congressman Maker.
Yes, everything I've heard here today, we know is all true. Everything Congresswoman Goodfox said is true. Mm-hmm. We all know it. And like they are chapels. You know, they were meant to be just small chapels. They're not to be a full-size church or cathedral. But I think maybe with the money restrictions and the priorities, and I think there's going to have to be a big appropriations meeting and go over all these bills once we finally get the final list of what is actually eligible for these funds, these rescue funds. So we still have a lot of work to do, and yes, yeah, they are small chapels. So, but I think I agree with Congresswoman Goodfox that it is a priority for the future, whatever funds we have available in the future for these two chapels, it will definitely be a priority. But right now, I think we do have the option of moving these out also with a no recommendation. No. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Maker. And I tend to agree with the second speaker. I'm going to follow the sponsor's lead on this. We do need to get together and come up with a list of priority. And I don't know how we get there. But it wouldn't be in this committee. We could prioritize, you know, the bills that are in this committee, but all of the bills need to be prioritized. So,
Chair Big Horse.
Yes.
This is Angela.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. So, yeah, we've had a lot of just discussion here and there between different folks, and so there's, you know, two ways, and this happens. I mean, I know it's ARPA dollars, and it's also more money than we have. Requests is more than we have, and so it's a different pot of money, but this is still very similar to what we do on other budgetary sessions and have for years had more requests than dollars. So I think that, you know, because if we've said this since the beginning, if we sit here and say, you know, what do I think is a good are good projects or, you know, needs, you know, we'll have to get down to needs versus wants, because we have a lot of needs, and that's what this round is about. It's about infrastructure. It's the rescue. That's why the American Rescue Plan is such a big piece of it. It is for infrastructure to protect our tribes on many, in many areas, should there be another pandemic. And so we're looking towards, you know, kind of being in a bit of that right now. And so I think that I don't want anybody to, I hear the sponsors' concerns, but, you know, in order to not get left behind on things that we know are a real necessity, then I would like to see them, you know, a lot went out yesterday, and we're going to have to get down there again, just like we have many other budgetary sessions, because they come out of committees and there's different folks and different discussions. So right now is the time to definitely get to the, you know, discuss the merit of the projects and get as much information and good information that we can. And then, you know, there's a couple of options is to, and I don't want the appropriations chair to be like, what? But either back to appropriations, so it could be in a committee style, much like we do in CJO's session, is to be able to handle it in a committee style fashion. Otherwise, the other option would be committee of the whole. And it's just basically, you know, a preference at that point in logistics of it. Because at those times it often, and depending if we don't go into an executive session, depending, a lot of times that's just a conversation between the Congress, and it allows for the assistant chief. But if somebody's wanting additional information, we're not necessarily in a committee style fashion. So to me, it gets down to just logistics of how, who we want to have that discussion. And if it's truly just boils down to a discussion of just the Congress, and you have all the info that you need, and we're there, and obviously we will be there, because if they're going out of committee, being reported out of committees, we'll be to that point, then sure, we can go into a committee of the whole. And I think that that's what it's looking like. So as far as if everybody wants to continue to, you know, discuss the, get down to the meat of the projects and information that we've been given and keep moving out, because you know, it's yay or nay in committee and it goes out, then we'll discuss there. So that's, yes. So that everybody, I think we're trying to repeat it in each committee for those who aren't here, but I would say, and I will go ahead and, start drafting an email to make sure that I notice the members of Congress that that's basically where it's headed, so that all committees will understand that that is going to be how we're going to proceed, if that's what you all are in agreement with right now.
Committee?
Chair, this is Rebard. If I can.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel like I'm going to... Speaker, I'm going to leave that up to you. I don't mind holding an appropriations meeting to gather more info, and I hear you. I think that that's a good avenue, but also going in as a committee as a whole, I feel like is a good avenue as well, because what's happening that I'm seeing is it's not fair to the other congressional members that have maybe filed something that was filed today. I mean, they may go through committee, and I like to hear about every project. I think it's, as an elected official, I want to hear that. I want to hear everybody's project and see the support docs and talk about it. And because that's going to help me how I vote, is based off the support docs that have been given. And of course the money is the biggest driver. We've only received 108. We haven't received the second round, nor have we received a final ruling. I'm still waiting to get the info from executive to see if these have been vetted through their consultant. Lacey Horn. I don't know that all of them are going to be allowable, so that's a process of elimination. There's all these moving parts, but I'm open to be fair to the other sponsors of their bills, and I want to go, I guess, the avenue that allows for that. So those are my comments. Thank you, Chairman.
Can I respond?
Yes, Speaker.
Okay. Yeah. So no, for sure. I don't intend on us doing that anytime soon. I mean, I would imagine in my head that we would get through everything. And like I said, I know it seems like, okay, oh gosh, this is, you know, we're about to go over, we only have this much left. And like I said, I've been here since 14, and not that it's a good way to go or that I'm, you know, but I'm just saying we've been sitting there plenty of times with, you know, because everybody disperses into committees and we come back and we're in appropriations, or should we choose to be in committee of the whole. But if we end up back in appropriations for at least discussion, maybe not every bill went back there, but it's in discussion, we're sitting there in the red. And that's the time that we work through it. We'll have it all. That's where the budget analyst could do a lot of work for us there. And, you know, separating out and just kind of work a matter of, you know, process of elimination, for lack of a better explanation at this moment, but, you know, show us where we are step by step. And so I would definitely, I'm just trying to put people's minds at ease, if it helps at all, to say that, you know, this has happened many times before with tribal dollars. We get into requests. There's more requests than money coming over. People filed the bills. We work through the bills, and, you know, lo and behold, we come back together and there's been more passed out of committee than there is in the pot. And so we'll have to work through that. And so I'm just, like I said, trying to maybe put people's mind at ease that we've done this multiple times before. And that's what we can work through. But I definitely want to hear from everybody. This is why in the committees of jurisdiction at this time is a good time to work through all of that before we get back. So for sure, I want to hear from everybody. And even though if we start to go over the number in the red, then we just continue to do that until we get to the big discussion of what's going to be, you know, first, second, third, whatever, or whatever we can within the amount of dollars that we have.
Chair, this is Stabler.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
So my thought all along with this has been to try to be fair to all of the projects and fair to all of the sponsors. And that is going to take prioritizing. So the committee work that's being done right now is incredibly important. Need to, you know, verify and validate these projects are going to qualify, but also that these projects are in a form that would be passable if it gets into the top end priorities. And then that's where we decide which projects would be the highest priority to at least go at the level that we know of money we have right now. And so that's been my thought all along, is how to make all these projects have an equal footing across the board, because otherwise it is just the first bills that happen to pass out. That's what happens in some of our budgetary sessions and stuff. Whatever's the first to pass out, it's already taken a chunk of money. And this is one-time, very important one-time money. So we want to make sure that we give each its fair vetting and its fair consideration as being the top of the mark. So that's why I keep trying to encourage everyone to do that. So I appreciate speakers' words. I think if we go to appropriations, then you're letting six votes consider the list, and that for me, it would be much better to go to a committee of the whole. We can always move bills back and forth. I think if we leave them in committee, then we're going to have to go back to committee to bring them forward if they're going to be, you know. So I appreciate Speaker and follow her lead, whatever she wants to do. That's my thought. Thank you.
Okay, and I agree. So, Speaker, if we leave 2164 where it's at, I come back tomorrow and I have another loaded agenda. I guess we just continue on like you said, and kind of try to prioritize as we go. Does that sound okay with you?
Well, again, I think that, you know, because of the work is being done in the committees, so you all are discussing, you know, basically your priority of these bills that are in your committee. So I think that if your committee feels comfortable in sending this out, then I would get it out. And because again, I agree that we're going at, you know, some things are going to get hit first. And then, so, you know, I don't want anyone to be like, oh gosh, and that's why I keep kind of mentioning that we've been here before. So it just depends on how we work through it. So, you know, I don't want anyone to panic that, oh gosh, you know, the mine's not going to be discussed, or mine's not going to, there's no money left for my effort here. So I don't want them to feel that way. So, because like I said, so that's why I'm just trying to say the reality is we're going to start going over the number that we have. And so let's go ahead and you all make decisions as committee members. What you agree with in your committee. So then they go out, and as they're coming out, if they're about to hit a point, you know, as they come in the process, the legislative process, we'll hold them, and we can hold them, and we just continue to hold them as they're reported out. And then we can decide whether we, you know, have that combo, just a fiscal combo in appropriations, or just get down and do it in a committee of the whole. So, and like I said, even that, I am definitely okay with either way. It's just, you know, a matter of sometimes of the logistics of how that is run, you know? So it's not, we can do either way, and committee of the whole is absolutely fine. If we just want to, you know, stick there right now and that's the intent, that is absolutely fine. But I'm just trying to repeat saying the reality is we're going to look like we're in the red, but then, you know, we get there and then we prioritize from there, because, you know, say something is, I don't know, 20 million. Okay. Well, we can continue. That's why, again, Congresswoman Stabler said it also, the work that we're doing here is, you know, it's the time to work through all this and be thorough on what's needed, what information do we have? Because just like yesterday, we saw a situation where I think we went from 18 million to 12 million. And so in a case like that, if there's when we get to the end, there's $2 million projects that we have been passed out of committee or in very much supported, then there's two more projects that we can get to, you know, once we work out the dollars and have our budget analysts work through that with us. So definitely I would keep moving it, whatever. I would just act as though, you know, what is your committee wanting to, how do they feel about each piece of legislation, and pass it out just as, you know, we would any other time.
Mr. Chairman, Assistant Chief.
And I'd like to get in the queue, Mr. Chairman. This is Brandy.
Yes, Assistant Chief, and then Brandy.
Thank you, sir. I hope this statement doesn't engender a really long, involved conversation, but it has that potential. In a conversation with the chief, I need to bring this up this morning.
I can barely hear him.
Is this better? The mic is right up to my mouth.
Well, that's where it needs to be, because depending on which mic you're on, that's what we all have to do, be able to hear.
Okay. The chief has issued a bit of a statement that, and I'm mentioning this because of the conversations about an expectation on, by certain members of Congress that some information on judgments rendered by Chief's counsel may be made available to the Congress. That's not going to be the case. Perhaps this statement will help clarify. Since the compliance with federal law of any legislation of the Osage Congress appropriating ARPA funds is of paramount importance, any act making such an appropriation should be accompanied by a written opinion of the attorney for the Congress that the legislation complies both with ARPA and the United States Department of the Treasury's interim final rule applying ARPA. Without such assurance by the Congress through its attorney, the chief should not consider the legislation for approval by the executive branch. Of course, as with all legislation, the chief retains and will exercise his constitutional authority to independently evaluate the merits of any ARPA legislation to determine whether to approve or veto it.
Chair Big Horse?
Yes, Congresswoman.
Okay, well, thank you for reading that for us, Assistant Chief. But I don't understand. I don't know. I'm not sure. It was just a question. And it's, we're doing the job of this Congress, and that's how I heard Second Speaker Rebard's question yesterday. I just believe that we're doing the work of this Congress in trying to work through these bills. And because it's not money that we specifically earned, there we realize and we have acknowledged all along that there are many things that have to be worked through, that have to be allowable. And those are the kinds of conversations that we're trying to have with you. No one is trying to make this difficult, but it sounds to me like on your end, you're just trying to make it difficult by that, by making reading whatever you just read, make it difficult just because we're asking for a level of protection. I mean, the request was made, and if the answer is no, then I suggest you just say no and why directly. Because we're simply, it's a piece of information that was requested. It's like when we're doing limited waiver of sovereign immunity. There are times that we say, hey, has the attorney general looked at this contract? Has the attorney general laid eyes on this? Because there's been times that it's come over from the executive branch and that hasn't happened. So we hold, the Congress says, hold on, let's get it back to make sure that it's gone through the attorney general as a layer of protection. And so that's what we're trying to do. No one's trying to be difficult here or offend anyone, but we are in the position right now where we are appropriating these dollars, and that discussion was had prior to me filing the bill that put us back in this situation. And this is just the protection of our entire nation working together to prioritize and have a level of protection for this nation. We are not trying to be difficult. I will speak on behalf of the Congress right now in saying that. So this is not a tit for tat kind of situation. And I don't know why that's necessary to bring all that up, but if the answer is no, that you do not wish, and I don't believe, I'm not sure that the specific request was for the chief's counsel, But I do know that it was just kind of, because we don't know exactly who you're looking at or working with on all of these funds in your advisors. We do know that you're working with Lacey Horn, but we don't know all the players. So I believe that maybe if counsel was thrown out, that it might have been said, can we get some kind of statement, because we're paying this attorney and or consultant for this, for their expertise. And since we already have them on contract and asking them to help us to protect ourselves and our nation, in working through these dollars, that we just would like to have that understanding between the Congress and, the chief's office. And I mean, the two of you have sat over here on Congress before yourselves. So I can only imagine that you can try to put yourselves back in these seats and see how you would look at it. Should it be a different chief and assistant chief in those seats, and just something that you might want to see as Congress members. And so we're not trying to be difficult, and we're not, if the answer is no, that you don't want anyone that you have contracted and paying for their expert opinion regarding these funds, then just tell us. But it sounds like we asked for that. So you're going to ask for who do we have over here that can give us a written to try to make things difficult. That's just how I'm interpreting that. And I think it's unnecessary. So again, I would request that if your answer is no to having Ms. Horn or whoever it is that's you're specifically looking to give you the final answer, then just tell us.
Well, on a Mr. Chairman, may I respond?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. On a positive note, I believe that Congress is in receipt in the support docs of a document dated July 16th, 2021, which is a draft proposal for the use of the American Rescue Plan funds. And I believe it's fair to say that things that are actually recommended in there are things that the executive branch feels are in compliance.
Okay, Chair Biggers.
Yes, Madam Speaker.
To respond to that, I realize that it says that, and it's the same. It's referencing the same line. The rule over and over. And okay, I hear you. It's like when we say yesterday is the Constitution was saying, well, don't forget it's a constitutional mandate. And I guarantee you that I think we could go through every one of these and say it's a constitutional mandate. So that's how I feel about that, which is why beyond, because you're paying for a consultant or a team of consultants, that what is the harm in asking them to verify, as opposed to, because you have, I believe that information came from Mr. Wygant and or Mr. Johnson, and that's all well and good, but if we're paying for folks to, we're just simply asking for an additional piece of support in stating, yes, that the people that we're paying to give us their opinion on these things, well, here's the opinion. I mean, do you already have something? Did they perhaps give it to you in writing already? Then great. Then we would like to see that. If they just told you, if you're paying them to look all through it and then just call you up and say yes verbally or whatever, then okay, then that's another matter and why we would need to ask. We're just asking for the extra layer of protection because we, as the legislative body of this government, just trying to fulfill our roles. Thank you, Chair.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, this is Brandy.
Yes, Brandy.
Thank you. My comment isn't germane to the comments that were just made. However, we were talking about working through the process. And so in looking at the legislation that's on the table now, which somewhat mirrors the legislation that I have filed for Gray Horse, and what took place yesterday with the transitional living piece where we reduced the amount, I tend to agree that working through them and reducing them if we can, or increasing them if we need to in the committee, is something that I am would be for. And of course, one reason being is that in my conversations since filing, some of the legislation that I have on proclamation, you know, there's been talk about possibly not building new, but building on. And Congresswoman Goodfox mentioned that earlier. And so that could be a possibility that, and a high likelihood that we would reduce the appropriations possibly with talk like that and working through situations like that. And it's germane to the legislation that I filed, but of course we're not talking about that legislation today, but it does mirror the Hominy legislation. So I just wanted to, which I know that you guys all know that. And so I'm okay to work through it. However, the body feels like we should work through it, and I'll follow the lead of our leadership absolutely and always. But just for that little tidbit of information, I appreciate your time.
Chair, this is Stable.
Hey, Congresswoman. Yes.
Chair, someone speaking. This is Stabler.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
So with all that being said, I'd like to make a motion to move ONCA 2164 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second. This is Rebard.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. Next on our agenda is executive session. Is there need for executive session? If not, then the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. This is Stabler.
Second, Shrevard.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 We're adjourned. Aye. Thank you, committee.
Oh, I keep doing that. I just got out of the deal again. I have to go back in.